God is a good God. And we give God the glory. Amen. Thank you, choir. For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. We'd like to begin reading with verse number 28. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 28. Isaiah, 40th chapter, beginning with the 28th verse. These words are recorded. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Read for your hearing, Isaiah the 40th chapter, verses 28 through verse 31. May the Lord continue to bless us through his Holy Word. From these verses of Scripture, we would like to use for a subject, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. I'm reminded that as we started this new year of 2019, we were all fueled up, all energetic. Just a few days ago, many of us made the declaration that we're all in for this new adventure. We declared that we would get new jobs, perhaps start new businesses. We were going to excel in our ministries, reconnect in our marriages, make good grades in school, and the proverbial lose those pounds. But here we are just a few days into the year, and a lot of us have already run out of steam and energy. We want to go somewhere, but we don't have the means to do it. Yeah, we come to church expecting God to do something, but too often we leave tired, frustrated, and weak, growing weary. See, there's a lot of anxiety associated with growing weary. I know a lot of us may not admit it, but I remember in the book of Ruth, where Naomi found herself when she was walking into Bethlehem and believed she was stressed and perplexed and did not know what to do. She did not know how the situation was going to turn out. She was possibly aggravated because she could not maneuver out of the situation. So it seemed like there was no way out for her. She was growing weary. See, some of us are facing great trials right now in our lives. But I've discovered that our God is very interesting. You see, he doesn't give you an itinerary for your journey. He won't hand you a map or spell it out for you. And he doesn't tell us all the hell we're going to have to go through to get to our promises. All he does is show us the promise, because if we're honest with ourselves, if we really had a clear view of everything we had to do to get to where we are right now, some of us would say, "No, thank you, God. I'll just stay right here. It's all right." We'd be growing weary. You see, and that's where the Israelites found themselves in the beginning of our text. So two rhetorical questions were asked. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Isaiah was reminding them that at that time that God made the world, and not just that, he made everything that is in it. You see, the nations rise and fall at God's command. So why we complain about gas prices and the economic situation? We need to remind ourselves that God has no equal, and everything is held in the palm of his hand. Everything that is happening is being permitted by God. Well, preacher, how do you know? See, I'm glad you asked that question. The word says the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. You see, everlasting God means God is enduring. He exists throughout the ages. He does not just come and go. He always is. He'll be here when the presidential term is up. He'll be here even if Boo decides that they're going to leave you and walk out of your home. He'll be here even when companies will close their doors. He'll be here even when the educational system fails and start laying off educators. Let me remind you that it is God that created it all, and he that can end it all. He wants our trust in the gift giver, not in the gifts. And the gift is Jesus. Yes. You see, further on in our text, we find that it says God never faints, nor is weary. You see, God never said that we will not have trials and tribulations. And that we need to be encouraged and be reminded that nobody in here is exempt from having a weak moment. Amen. You might not admit it, but the things that bothers me about church folk is that we're so concerned about what people might think about us. We come to church as great pretenders. We come into the sanctuary with our mask on, wearing our good clothes, knowing that we're going through hell in our households. But if there's anybody in here that is weak right now and you're not ashamed to admit it, that's who possibly I'm talking to today. And there may be somebody in here that's feeling just a little weak and going through some difficulties right now. You see, there will come a time in our lives when we've gone through so much that we won't care who knows. Amen. You see, we'll get to a point where we won't care who knows our business. As a matter of fact, we'll get to a point where we won't have any private business. We'll let it all, as they say, hang out. You may be weak, tired. You may be worn out. You don't have any energy, and you don't have time to be playing games. You see, in the 29th verse, it says that he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You see, all of us are destined to grow weary. We're going to get physically tired. Emotionally and spiritually, we're going to be drained. But we can get to a place, and we know we don't know just what to do. You see, there's danger in growing weary. How many of us have got caught up in something just because we were bored and tired? 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, have you ever seen the animal kingdom? You know, when the lion is going after his prey, they wait for the one straggler in the back. You know, the one that's either hurt or tired or weak and begins to lay back. And that's why we have to be careful about the folk we hang out with when we are weak. You see, Facebook has been a very popular site to journal the thoughts of many, especially when you may be going through. You want to tell everybody. You want to tell somebody how they want you to. You want them to like your bad feelings. You want them to feel bad with you and what you're going on with. The problem is that it has opened up a door that has allowed people to be tagged as your friends, and they really don't have your best intentions at heart. What some has found out is that people will co-sign on your mess. They will click like you on your misery. You see, verse 30 in our text says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Youth and young men are the symbol of strength. You see, they're the ones to whom people look to for the future. However, even young people have limits to their endurance. So when young people grow tired, they too will stumble and they will fall. You see, the sad part is they often stumble and fall into sin. Our youth are in a constant battle. Times are not how they used to be. You know, we talk stuff. We had that problem when we were young. All we had was howdy doody on the black and white screen on TV. Y'all know that. Some of y'all didn't have that. You had to go down 3 miles to visit someone else's house to see howdy doody. Amen. Amen. But our youth have the internet. They have to fight 10,000 times harder than we had to do. And we wonder why our young people are struggling. On drugs, stealing, running away, bringing home failing grades, and even dropping out of school. They may be our kids, but they're weary. They're dealing with so much pressure that if we don't stop and listen, we're going to lose many of our youth. You see, they're going to fall by the wayside because they feel like they have no hope in what they feel is a hopeless situation. They're growing weary. 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord. The word wait means to stay in one place. And while you stay, it anticipate or expect something. You see, the part of trusting God is waiting upon his instruction in each and every situation that we face. We don't know when God is going to bless. We don't know how he's going to bless. But when he does, we know God does it right. When we start seeing people getting blessed, we know if they're getting blessed, then Jesus must be in our neighborhood and our blessing is on the way. You see, that leads me to the promise. If we wait, what will happen? Bible says, shall renew their strength. Now, renew translated biblically means basically to change clothes. It means we will take off our weariness and shrug our weakness and then put on the strength of the Lord. I don't know much about you, but you see, my household has been through too much not to stay in position to get clothed by the Savior. You know, some of us will say, I'm baptized, I'm saved, I'm fire baptized, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and Lord help if I slip in your door, come by the house and we'll see what's happening on the inside. You have to be able to get close to the Lord, and as they say, wait on the Lord. Not just the young folk, but all those who wait on the Lord. The Bible says that they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They say you're going to fly, but you're going to feel like flying. You're going to have wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Praise God. If you see me trotting, you know it's nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit. And they shall walk and not faint. When God renews you, there will be a visible change in you because you are trusting God. You will find that you have a source that supplies you with supernatural ability to do what the Lord asks you to do. You'll find that if you faint not, God is going to allow you to fly over some troubles and situations and challenges in your life. There's going to be some things you don't even have to endure if you wait on the Lord. There's going to be some things that you're going to be able to run through, and there's going to be some things you're going to have to walk it out. But even though you are walking, you will not faint. Why? Well, because God sent us his son by the name of Jesus. Over 2,000 years ago, his son died. And because of that, we have the inheritance of redemption and so much more. Today, we stand in remembrance of his actions on our behalf. We're grateful because he lived, he died, and rose again. We're humbled because he stated through his angels that he's coming back again for his church, the one without spot and one without wrinkle. We're encouraged by such a great love and the sacrifice that God did for us. Today, first Sunday of 2019, when we take back the sheet and move the trays and uncover the bread, and when we begin to eat and drink the liquid that represents his blood and the bread that represents his body, we do it in solidarity with him through the compassion that we show to the stranger and the least of these. God is still in the blessing business because he saved us through his son. And as we eat and drink today, we do it in remembrance of what he did for each of us. Not just that, one day he's coming back again. And when he does, we're going to eat and drink anew with him in heaven. See, I don't know about you. I don't pretend at this table. I don't take it for granted. It's not just something that I check off every first Sunday. When I walk down that aisle and that wafer I crunch, I am eating and I'm believing at that same moment that God sacrificed his son for me. I am not worthy. My life is not worthy of the death of God's son. And then when I take that little cup and turn it up and drink the liquid, I'm reminding that there is a glow on the inside that causes me to rejoice, to know that one day, I don't know how it's going to be, I'm going to be with him. And I'm going to eat something. They said it's going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm going to get something. I'm going to drink something. Makes no difference what it will be. It will be with him. And that's my hope. And that's what I go through. Every opportunity I have to eat and drink, mainly because of what he did for me. Regardless of what we do this year, don't take it for granted. There were some who started out in 2018 healthy. Some who started out with great fortunes. But look at what happened now. Some didn't make it. Some made it, but not in the same shape that they started out. So we give God the glory as we celebrate and as we eat and we drink. Do it with the knowledge that one day God's Son, Jesus the Christ, is coming back again. And we won't have to go through the rehearsal anymore. We'll be able to do it with him. Don't grow weary. May God bless you. May we stand. This is a new year. It's a new opportunity. God blessed us to be able to see 2019. And for some of us, it's more than a blessing. It is another chance. For some have failed to accept God's Son as Jesus, as Savior in their life. Most of you who are within the sound of my voice, you know what the Bible tells you. It tells you in order that for us to be caught up to greet Jesus in the air, we must have accepted him as Savior in our lives. I know there are a lot of doctrines out there that tells you you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. But the Bible says that if we're going to be saved, we must confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. It also says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you're here, and if you're not sure whether or not that if Jesus came back at this very moment, that you would be one of us to be caught up to greet him in the air, then you need to be talking to us about salvation. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come up just out of doubt. I'm asking you to actually step out on an aisle knowing that you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And now you want to publicly proclaim it by stepping out, coming forward, giving your hands to the officers who stand here before you now. Keep in mind, stepping out in the aisle does not save you. Salvation comes where you are, the very moment you receive God's Son into your heart. The Holy Spirit, He's tugging, He's inviting you, He's asking you to let Him in. And if you've done that, now is your time, your opportunity. Publicly proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior. If there's one, perhaps you're one who you've already been saved. You've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but you've been praying and you've asked the Lord to guide you to a house or a gathering whereby you might fellowship. He has guided you here to Shiloh. We'd love to have you to come be a part of this family. If you're here, we'd like for you to come forward at this time and unite with us, either on your Christian experience or by letter. But you're invited to come also. If you're here, will you come? This is your invitation to publicly proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior. Will you come? Praise the Lord. It's prayer time in Shiloh. Those of you who know the worth and the work of prayer, we ask you to come to the altar for our altar call experience. Will you come?
Hallelujah, Lord God. Our God is a good God. And our God changes not. What scripture tells us from the same chapter the pastor preached from, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but our God shall stand forever. Forever. He's the same God today that it was back there in 2018. And he's the same God now in 2019. He faileth not. What God has promised you, he will bring it to pass. No matter how long it takes, he sent Jesus at the appointed time. He was not a minute late, but at the appointed time, he gave Jesus, he allowed him to come into the world and do what God had brought him and allowed him to come into the world to do. Jesus fulfilled his purpose. Are we fulfilling our purpose? Are we doing what the Lord called us to do? As Pastor said, many of us made traditions or whatever promises to God. The 1st of January, but here we are, the 6th day. That promise has gone out the window. We have forgotten that promise. But God changes not. Amen. Thank you, brother. We serve a God that changes not. Our God is a good God. God bless you. Allow the Lord to continue to use you to his glory, to his honor, and to his praise. Let us pray. And we need to start encouraging each other. We need to start encouraging one another. Let us pray. Holy Father, our loving Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, the Spirit of the living God. Father, hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy. You are the holy God. You are the one true and living God. Father, let your kingdom come. For your kingdom has already come through Jesus Christ. Lord, let your will be done in earth, O God, as it is in heaven. And Father, this morning I pray and I thank you, Lord, for this year of 2019. Father, I thank you for what you've already done for us, O God, as a people, O God, as individuals, oh God. And Father, what you're doing now and what you will continue to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us to know, Father God, that awesome, Father God, power, Father God, that you have given us in prayer, oh God. One of the most powerful sources in this world, oh God, is prayer, oh God. And give us, Father God, as individuals, and as a church, oh God, to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. And scripture said, then will you hear from heaven. You will forgive our sins. Father God, no matter what we've done yesterday, you will forgive it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And you will heal our land. Father, our land need healing today. Yes. Father God, in our personal lives. Father God, in our marriages, oh God. In our relationships, oh God. In our families, oh God. Father God, in our communities, oh God. In our neighborhoods, oh God. Father God, in the workplaces, oh God. In our church houses, oh God. Father, in our government, oh God. In the nation, oh God. But Father God, you're looking to us, oh God. Those of us that are called by your name, you have given us the answer to humble ourselves and pray. Not just humble ourselves, but pray. Turn from your wicked ways. You can't expect God to answer your prayer if you're still living in sin. You cannot expect him to answer. You must turn away from your wickedness. Yes. Then will you hear from heaven. Yes. You will forgive our sins. Father God, I pray for our youth, oh God. I pray for our young people. Father, save our youth, oh God. Save our young people, oh God. Save our children, oh God. Save our grandchildren, oh God. Father God, draw them to you today, oh God. Father God, we don't want to lose this generation, oh God. But oh God, help them, Lord God, to turn their hearts to you and turn away from the evils of this world, oh God. Father God, don't allow them to continue to be deceived, oh God. But help them, oh God, to know that you are the one true and living God. You are the only one, as someone said earlier, that can give peace, oh God. That peace of God which passes all understanding. For we are looking for happiness and peace and joy in the wrong places. Man cannot give us peace. Man cannot give us joy. Man cannot give us happiness. We must come to you, Lord. For it's all tied up, tangled up, and wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Coming to have a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, thank you, Lord. Father God, we have so many prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, oh God. But Father God, bring them to the pig pen, oh God. And Father God, then help them to rise and come to themselves, oh God, and say, I will arise and go back to my Father. Father God, because you are still with your arms stretched out waiting for us to return back to you. So Father, touch our hearts today, oh God. Father, give us to be doers of your word, oh God. Not just hearers and readers, oh God, but give us to be doers of your word and apply your word to our everyday lives and live accordingly. For your word is food to our hungry souls. And scripture said your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So give us to walk in the truth and the light of your word. And Father God, I pray your blessings upon this church family. Father God, as we go out today, Father God, help us to go out, Father God, worshiping and praising you, oh God. And Father God, being about the work that you have called us to do. For the work is not in the church house, oh God, but it's out there, oh God. Father God, where souls need to be saved, oh God. Souls need to hear the gospel, oh God. Souls need to see the light of Jesus Christ in the church, oh God. So give us to shine bright in this dark world. And Father God, I just pray your blessings continually upon us, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for saving us, healing us, being merciful unto us. Thank you again for being our loving Heavenly Father. And thank you for being the God that changes not. Even though we change, Father God, from minute to minute, oh God, but you changes not. And we thank you for that. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. For truly thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these blessings. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.